today on Real Life Radio.
Listen, everything that you need to be forgiven by God and to enjoy and experience eternal life, a completely different changed life, because Jesus said, it is finished. No works, no legalism, no money. Come to Him, come to Him. It is finished.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We are in the studio today with Pastor Jack. Pastor, it's that time again. It's Easter.
It is, Davey, and it's awesome. We love it.
So we're asking the question, what is the most misunderstood part about Easter? You know what I mean? What is something that you want people to know about Easter that they might not know just right off the bat?
I think the most misunderstood, and I deliver this because this is what comes to me and has come to me over the decades, is, well, Pastor Jack, if Jesus is God and he died— and if God died, how come the world didn't like blow up or fall apart?
Huh.
Because didn't he die on the cross for us? And wasn't he buried? Wasn't God dead? Well, we have to remember something. Yes, but no. Yes, he died, but God cannot die. His body died. Jesus was veiled in human skin, 100% God, 100% man. He was the incarnate Word of God. So when Mary had her little lamb, if I can put it that way, at resurrection season, at Passover season, it was none other than the birthing of Christ into this world. When Jesus died, remember, the scripture says that he dismissed his spirit.
Yeah.
His body died as the sacrifice for our sins. He was and is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The reason why the world and the universe didn't fall or fly apart is because the spirit and the soul of Christ never died. Remember, we are a trichotomy. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that we are body, soul, and spirit. Well, when Jesus came, he took upon himself the body, soul, and spirit, much like we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yet without sin. That's that incarnate, glorious appearing of God in human skin. So that's, I think, one of the most confusing parts for some people is if Jesus is God, then how could he die and the world stay together? Well, thank God it was his body that died as a sacrifice. Yeah.
On today's very special Easter Passion Weekend edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now with his message called Forsaken Forever for You. Thanks for spending some of your Easter weekend with us. It really does mean a lot that you came to visit. You know, the life and the ministry of Jesus were all about salvation. But in our humanity, we think only of our own desires, even when Jesus is reaching out to us. You see, Jesus' life had been tested and proven that he truly was the Christ, and that he came to save us from our sins. From the Old Testament prophets of the Bible to the New, Jesus' life and message were examined and proven to be true. Even when the religious leaders of his day tried to trap him, Jesus prevailed. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that this week in history, Jesus fully represented God's love for us. He was willing to be forsaken, beaten, and die on a cross for our sins, so that you and I can forever be with him. It's a love that we may never fully understand, even until we see him face to face. Now, in his Passion Week message called Forsaken Forever for You, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Amen, amen. I want to read to you, eyes to the screens if you would. I'm going to be speaking here right now this evening with a message here entitled Forsaken Forever for You. Forsaken Forever for You. Matthew chapter 27, I'll read to you verse 35. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots, out of the book of Psalms. Sitting down, they kept a watch over him there, that is over Jesus, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then two robbers who were crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priest also mocking with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he's the Christ or the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. So that's 12 noon. This is Hebrew time. So in Roman time, it was 12 noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or in the Hebrew, it's my God, why am I left alone? Powerful words tonight for us to consider. Forsaken forever for you is the message that God is giving us. Everything had been proven this week in history for Jesus was the very example. Everybody is looking to him. Everybody had been listening to him. And the fact that we consider these special times that we consider this week, everything had been proven, meaning that Jesus' life had been so examined over the space of 3.5 years that Jesus had been himself tested. The very testing that came to Christ had proven that he was the one. This is what's awesome about the faith that you and I have in Jesus Christ tonight. He's not some religious conjured up one to take advantage of people. The word of God announced what Christ would look like in his coming, and you could have tested him. You could have held up the Bible this week in history, and that you could tested everything about him. And my argument to you tonight is that Jesus Christ alone was tested and proven to be the very Christ, the one in whom all the scriptures spoke of. Church family, the second thing I should say about this is that Jesus had been examined and proven. He was tested this week in Jerusalem, in and out of the city. Very, very special week in his earthly ministry. I don't know if you realize this or not, but when Jesus Christ went to Jerusalem, he only went to Jerusalem to observe the required feasts, and then he would get out of Jerusalem. Jesus spent most of his time in Galilee, not in Jerusalem. But this week, he was there all week. And the Bible tells us, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that all the things that were taking place, he was presenting himself in such a way. And there were things taking place this week in history where, for example, he shouted at the steps of the temple, I'm the light of the world. I'm the living water. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All of these profound statements that if they would have come from anybody else, it would have been the words of a lunatic, was coming from Jesus himself. He's announced already, people had heard him, that if you die believing in me, you'll live forever. Who says things like that? Well, this was their week, the people, to test him. And test him they did, and examine him he did. But this is a necessary thing, people. All this week, 2,000 years ago, Josephus tells us some 235,000 lambs. Think about that. 10 people to a lamb. 235,000 lambs would be sacrificed this week in Jerusalem for families, for their loved ones. But then there was, of course, the Paschal lamb, the Passover lamb, special lamb that would be offered up. More on that in a moment. But Jesus was tested and proven, meaning he was tested and found to be exactly who the Old Testament prophets said he was. He was examined and discovered to be exactly who the Old Testament prophets said he was. And then thirdly, we see this under this point that everything had been proven. Jesus had been judged and was proven. The Pharisees this week went up and down, as it were, all around Jesus, provoking, at least trying to, questioning him, challenging his authority. They try to catch him in all kinds of traps. You and I love reading the Gospels when they try to wiggle in these traps to get him into a word game. And every time they would try that, he would flip it on them. And remember, we've been learning in the book of Romans on Sundays that one of the great way of a Jewish argument, and Jesus, of course, being God and skin, did it perfectly. Paul must have paid close attention because he does it very well himself. That when you talk to a Jew, they're brilliant. It's just the way that they're brought up to think critically. So when you ask a Jew a question, they don't answer you. Oh, don't get me wrong. You ask them a question, they'll start talking. But they will answer your question with a question. You can say to them, well, what about this? And they'll say, well, I'll answer that, but what about this? And they'll really get you going. They did that to Jesus. They asked him all kinds of questions to try to entrap him, to get him judged. They were trying to get him at odds with Moses, at odds with the law, at odds with the prophets. They tried it all. And in doing that, everybody, listen up. Same is true for you and I today. As the world judges you and I, they're examining us and they're testing us as believers. And they should. We claim to know the creator God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. People should test us. But listen, we should be able to stand and hold firm by the word of God. Point number two tonight is this, everybody. Everything is now prepared. This week in history, it's not only that everything had been proven, but everything is being prepared. How so? Jesus is now fully representing the love of the Father this week in history. The love of the Father is being proven all this week as Jesus is judged, examined, and tested. So everything is being prepared, not only for the Passover supper. He's going to have that with them later this week, the upper room experience. But we know this, everybody, that Jesus is now fully representing the love of the Father. Jesus earlier, just not so long from this time, had told the disciples who he was, and Philip said, why don't you just show us the Father and we'll be happy? And Jesus says, have I been so long with you? And you're still asking me to show you the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The things that I respond to, the things that I say, the things that I do, and the things that I don't do is in perfect alignment with the will of the Father. If you look at Jesus, you're looking at the Holy Spirit personified. If you're looking at Jesus, you're seeing the Father and his example in Jesus. He was the walking, living, breathing word and will of God. And he's come to Jerusalem this week, representing perfectly the love of the Father. And that love is pretty intense, by the way. He's not only doing miracles and being kind and gentle, he's also being stern and to the point and exposing hypocrites. Turning over tables, visiting the temple, and looking around. And one of those visits this week in history was, in my opinion, terrifying. There's one visit that Jesus makes to the temple and says nothing and goes away. And every night he slept outside the city limits of Jerusalem. Did you know that? He wouldn't stay this week in history in the city limits of Jerusalem because he knew that it had forsaken him. On Palm Sunday, last Sunday, they were shouting Hosanna, but they wanted a political deliverer. The second thing is this, is that Jesus now is totally forsaken. We read it a moment ago. Elo, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, quoting Psalm 22, verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 1. By the way, rabbis will tell you that never, or rarely, if ever, was a psalm just quoted like that on its own. That when you start in a chapter, they didn't have chapters like we do today, but starting at the first part of Psalm 22, verse 1, that Jesus actually quoted the entire psalm. Psalm 22. Can you imagine him hanging on the cross saying, they pierced my hands and my feet? I mean, that had to make you kind of freaky to be hearing this when he shouts out to them, my God, why am I alone? In this moment, the humanity of Christ was in its full exposure. The Father had turned his back, as it were, on the Son of God because judgment was being laid upon him. And the sense that Jesus felt as a human, remember, he is God the man, and he's fully God the man. He's fully God and fully man. He's the only one. And he said, Father, when the fellowship broke, when that koinonia that he experienced with God the Father turned away, Jesus cried out, totally forsaken for you and I, so that you and I would never be forsaken. Christ was forsaken.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And then thirdly, under this point, is the fact that Jesus now on display for the world to see, hanging on a cross this week in history. Nothing shy about it, folks. Beaten, bloodied, beyond human recognition, Isaiah tells us. Jesus Christ is suspended on a cross. This may come as a shock to you, but when you go to Israel with us, there's various sites that we'll visit, and they have found crosses and areas of crucifixion under Roman rule 2,000 years ago. And the stones, I should say, the crosses are petrified. They're turned to stone. The wood is turned to stone. And you'd be shocked to find out how low, when somebody was crucified, they were crucified very low to the ground. We've always got this Sunday school picture of them being very high up. But they were crucified very low to the ground, just above your head. So the crucifixion, when you hear about the communication taking place, it was very personal, very direct, as Jesus speaks. Everything was being provided in Christ at the cross. Three things, very important. Everything was being provided. Jesus was making an eternal transaction that we could not do on the cross. He was paying your sin debt and mine on the cross. God the Father was laying upon him all of our sins. He was making an eternal transaction. We could not do that. Secondly, everything's being provided this way. Jesus was paying an outstanding debt that we could never pay. I don't know about you, but if I'm remotely late on a bill, it freaks me out. It terrifies me. My dad taught us to pay our bills 15 days before they're due. And when I get the thing that warns you, I get all nervous. I don't care if it's $1 or $1,000. I get all nervous because I don't want to be late. Guess what? Jesus paid an outstanding debt that you could never have paid in 1,000,000,000 lifetimes. You could never repay. Jesus was there paying that. And then finally, it's this under this point. Jesus was suffering in a way we could not suffer. We have no idea what that's like. Jesus was suffering in a way that transcends all suffering that any human will ever experience in life. God the Son on the cross, sin being heaped upon him, the Father leaves him alone, and he suffers a loneliness and he suffers a pain that you and I will never know. We'll never know it. It's impossible for us to know that level of suffering, no matter what you've ever gone through. And I want you to think about that. Jesus Christ suffered in a way that we could have never, never known. And so, when God cries out, he cries out for you and I, his love for us. In John chapter 19, verse 29 and 30, the Bible says, now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Church family, in this final installment of this for tonight, when God cries for you, think of that for a moment. When God cries for you, when Jesus Christ was on the cross and he cries out, "It is finished, tetelestai," all is culminated. Think about this for a moment, especially in light of Sunday. We approach this week and especially Friday and we think, oh, you know, what a sad thing it is and what a sorrowful thing it is. And it would be if we lived 2,000 years ago. But think about this. When God cries for you, maybe tonight you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You just heard two examples about God's suffering. It's amazing to me to realize that God, even tonight, the Bible says, weeps over the death of the wicked. Listen, technically, we're all wicked. But the difference between heaven and hell is having your sins washed away in the blood of Christ. And so these things I want to point out in closing. It is finished. There's the finality in the cry, the finality of his cry, it. One little word, it. What does that mean, it? It is finished. The natural question for us is, what is finished? And Jesus would respond, it's finished. What is that it that he's exclaiming about? Think about that for a moment. It is finished, the culmination of everything. There's the finality of his cry. Number one, his cry undid the curse. From the Garden of Eden, Jesus cries back from the cross, it is finished. What Adam and Eve began, Jesus removes the curse. That's finished. Secondly, his cry broke the stronghold. What stronghold? I'll ask you, what stronghold? What stronghold is it over your life? What thing grips your life from this world? Jesus breaks that. And I see this. His is a cry of reconciliation. Jesus Christ reconciled the world to himself. We're talking about you, your soul, your spirit, and reconciliation. Jesus purchased everything that is needed for you and I to experience eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and to live with him face to face forever in heaven. He completely undid what this world threw at us, breaking the curse. He absolutely destroys strongholds in our lives, addictions. Listen, everything that you need to be forgiven by God and to enjoy and experience eternal life, not only later, but now you can live a completely different, changed life because Jesus said, it is finished. No works, no legalism, no money, no effort. Come to him, come to him. It is finished. How is that? Your sins are gone away from you. It's finished. It is finished. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his very special Easter Passion Weekend message called Forsaken Forever for You. Thanks for listening and happy Easter to you. Our prayer is that in celebrating Passion Weekend, you'll come to realize the urgency to come to Christ, knowing that he is the only way to eternal life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
What if the greatest battles in life aren't fought with swords and armies, but with the struggles of the heart? What if the most defining moments of leadership come not from triumph, but from pain, betrayal, and humility? How do we handle being misunderstood or wronged, and How do we navigate the deep waters of authority, submission, and forgiveness? In A Tale of Three Kings, Gene Edwards takes us inside the lives of King Saul, King David, and Absalom, illustrating the powerful lessons learned from their brokenness and their failures. Through these kings, we discover that true leadership often comes through humility, suffering, and trusting God's sovereignty, even in the most difficult seasons. This book will challenge you to reflect on your own heart, leadership, and your walk with God. A Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.